Assalamu alaikum, Mohammed Sadiq Akif. Thank you for agreeing to do this interview. I'm going to start by asking you a simple question. What does this ministry do?
زموږ دنده د دغه وزارت دا ده چې خلکو ته د ښې لارې ښودنه.
Our duty here is to persuade people into doing actions according to Sharia law and preventing them from doing those sins which go against Islamic law. In order to develop an Islamic state, there's a vital need for having such a ministry as this, in order to build a good society in terms of having law-abiding citizens. This is not something new. From the foundation of Islam, such behavior has existed amongst Muslims. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, invited people to virtue. He even asked the Muslim community to ask one another, to invite each other to virtue. In the era of the Khulafa Rashidun, this is what happened. And this continued up until the end of the Ottoman Caliphate. Then after the collapse of the Ottomans in Saudi Arabia, they had such a department until only 2 years ago. And this was called the Amr bil Ma'ruf department. At the moment, they also have one in Iran, in Egypt, in Al-Azhar University. In our previous Taliban administration in 1995, we also had a ministry of Amr bil Ma'ruf. And after the collapse of the previous Western-supported government, with our victory against the Kuffar, we again began to include this into our cabinet. So in all the provinces of Afghanistan, we have departments such as this. And we deploy personnel according to the importance of the provinces and their population. We've divided these provinces into three big, medium, and small categories according to their geographical location. In big provinces, we have 25 callers to Sharia. We call them Mubalighin. In medium provinces, we have 15 to 20 Mubalighins. And in smaller provinces, we have 10 to 15 Mubalighins. In Kabul, in every district, we have 10 Mubalighin. And through these personnel, we show people the proper implementation of Sharia. We might do this in mosques, or we might be talking to pedestrians, or people in parks and schools, everywhere. For the last 20 years, we have had a regime supported by the Americans, a secular regime that is promoting freedom, women don't need to wear hijab. You know, it's not an Islamic regime for 20 years. So are the people here in Kabul and in Afghanistan, have they lost some of their Islam? Is it difficult? How Islamic are they? And when you remind them about Islam, what is their reaction?
په ټولنه کې په اسلامیت کې ساری نه لري. په نړۍ کې په اوس وخت کې هیڅ داسې هیواد نشته چې په اسلام باندې دومره قرباني ورکړي.
Afghans are accustomed to Islam. They've been Muslims for thousands of years. In the past 20 years, the people who had the power, I'm talking about the occupation authorities, they didn't have the consent of Afghans, whether that be in politics, economics, and definitely Islamic affairs. And because of the suffering of the wars in the past 20 years, which the previous government could not eradicate, people have naturally come to Islam. We don't force them to behave according to Islamic laws, but we just want them to reaffirm the Sharia. For example, in the past 20 years, there was some media which was Western-inspired, and there was some propaganda or TV programs which weren't appropriate according to the Islamic Sharia. I was small during the previous Taliban government, so I can't recall much. But I say, according to Islam, we shouldn't force anyone to do a particular action. And maybe if something happens which is wrong, perhaps it's just a misunderstanding. But we don't beat people. No one is tortured. No one is hurt. No one is imprisoned. As I said to you before, these people are Muslims. They just need to be called to Sharia. Is music banned now?
No. Islam, the music para bandi khpal,
Islam has certain rules for music. According to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, music is the appliance for the devil to seduce people to sins. So we don't want people to listen to music. Instead, listen to the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, the preachings of Islamic scholars, or praise Allah. But that said, we don't beat people to force them not to listen to music.
What about the beard?
The gire para bande taso ba Islam mutalia kare wi.
If you study Islam, then nor the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, nor any Sahaba or Tabi'in shave their beard. We say to people that growing your beard is wajib, it's obligatory. There are some hadiths about growing the beard, and our Prophet ordered us in those hadiths to do it. And then some other ulama, they say it's sunnah. But even if we consider it to be only sunnah, it would still be helpful in the akhirah, in the afterlife, because we need Rasulullah's intercession.
What about Sharia, hudud, the hudud punishments? Are they being implemented now? Or are you going to introduce them gradually? Or are they now being implemented?
حدود پاره باندې خدا دا ستاسو محاکمونه پختنه کوي ځکه کامل معرف وزارت داسې یو اداره نه چې خلکو ته سزا ورکړي.
About the hudud punishments, I think it's better to ask the people in the judiciary. We're not allowed in our ministry to punish people. So the people working in Afghanistan's courts will respond to this question properly. My response would be incomplete.
What about, I'm going to ask you about women, because obviously in the West, this is the big subject about the Taliban and women. What are the rules that you are enforcing regarding women? What role can women play in society going forward?
When you study Islam, you'll find out that Islam came to serve people. Those who aren't Muslims, they see women as goods or animals, not as human beings. But Islam gave women rights that no other religion has done. Inviting women to be naked, or telling them that they must work or be in businesses, or using them as human trafficking, that's not giving them their true rights. Islam gives women the rights to education, to business, even the right to work in areas which are affiliated to them. And we will give permission for all these rights, according to the Sharia. We won't do like the previous occupation government, which gathered lots of funds for women and then didn't spend it on women. For instance, in the previous Ministry of Women, which was located here, among the 19 staff, just 5 of them were women. The other 14 were men, which shows that they didn't recruit women, even in this ministry. And if you ask people about the rights of women in the previous regime, they will tell you stories about how women were constantly harassed, especially the wives of soldiers who were martyred. Or if the government hired them, they wanted sexual relations in exchange.
This ministry used to be called the Ministry of Women, but you've changed it now. What is the reason for that? Why did you abolish the Ministry of Women and make it into the Ministry of Promoting Virtue and Preventing Evil?
Sometimes one ministry is amalgamated into 3 different departments, or even 3 departments are transformed into one ministry. So we abolished one ministry, and I don't believe that anywhere in the world there is a specific ministry for women. Why should we have a ministry for women? This in itself is an aggression against women's rights.
So I understand that you're not trying to force people, you're trying to educate people and persuade people. Tell me, what are the benefits of doing this for individuals in Afghanistan and for society as a whole?
There is a need for society to be rectified. Without that, we can't control society. No country would allow its people to become lawless, lawbreakers.
So Muslims from all over the world are watching Afghanistan closely, and they're watching how Islam is going to be implemented in the Islamic Emirate, and whether it will be a success or a failure. Do you have a message to Muslims around the world about what's happening in Afghanistan at the moment?
د اسلامي امارت په بریا سره تاسو ولیدلی د فلسطین ولس میټایانی وویشلې.
With the victory of the Islamic Emirates, just like with the future victory of the Palestinians or the Syrians or the Iraqis. Muslims in Western countries are happy. And in some countries, they cheered on the Taliban with takbirs. All Islamic countries are happy with the success of the Taliban. And the reason why is because they think in the past 20 years, Muslims were killed here, imprisoned, threatened. Now they know Afghans are free from invaders and occupiers and outsiders. And they will live according to the Quran and the Hadith. So we thank them. We appreciate their happiness about the Taliban. And we hope that they will have peace in their countries as well. But we want the world not to oppress Muslims anymore.
نور دی اسلامی هیوادونو یا د مسلمانانو ل دربدرینه او دغه ل زوال نه لغوی سره ل زیاتینه لاس واخلي.